The Book of Esther from the Lexham Septuagint translation. In the second year of the reign of Ahasuerus, the great king, on the first of Sivan, Mordecai, the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, saw a dream. He was a Judean man living in the city of Susa, a great man, attending in the courtyard of the king. He was of the body of captives that had been taken prisoner by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from Jerusalem with Jeconiah, the king of Judah. And this was his dream. Behold, voices and clamor, thunders and earthquake, confusion upon the earth. Behold, two great dragons, both came forth prepared to struggle, and a great voice came from them. And at the sound of their voice, every nation was prepared for war, so that they made war against the righteous nation. Behold, a day of darkness and gloom, affliction and distress, ill treatment and great tumult upon the earth. And the entire righteous nation was troubled, fearing evil things upon themselves. They prepared to be killed and called to God. And from their cry there appeared, as it were, from a small spring, a great river with much water. Light appeared, the sun arose, and the humble were exalted and devoured the honorable. And having awoken, Mordecai, the one who had seen this dream, and what God planned to do, held it in his heart. And with all his reason, he wanted to interpret it until the night. Now Mordecai kept quiet in the courtyard, with Gabatha and Harbona, two of the king's eunuchs, who guarded the courtyard. And he heard their plans and scrutinized their ambitions, and he learned that they were preparing to lay their hands upon King Ahasuerus, and he warned the king about them. Then the king questioned the two eunuchs, and after they confessed, they were led away. And the king wrote these words for a memorial. Mordecai also wrote about these things. Then the king ordered Mordecai to attend in his courtyard, and he gave him gifts because of these things. Now Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Bugeos, was an honored man before the king, and he desired to harm Mordecai and his people on account of the two eunuchs of the king. And it happened after these matters in the days of Ahasuerus. This Ahasuerus ruled over 127 territories from India. In those days, when King Ahasuerus was enthroned in the city of Susa, in the third year of his reign, he prepared a banquet for his friends, and for the rest of the nations, and for the honored of Persia and Media, and for the rulers of his satrapies. And afterward, after he had shown the riches of his kingdom, and the glorious splendor of his wealth over 184 days, when the days of the wedding feast were completed, the king held a drinking party for the people who were found in the city. It lasted for 6 days in the courtyard of the king's house. The courtyard was adorned with fine linen and cotton cloths that were stretched by cords of fine linen and purple, fastened to rings of gold and silver on pillars of marble and stone. There were couches of gold and silver on precious pavement of emerald, pearl, and marble, and diaphanous mattresses variously adorned with flowers, and roses were scattered round about. The drinking vessels were of gold and silver, and there was a small cup of carbuncle, an exhibit worth 30,000 talents. There was abundant sweet wine, which the king himself drank. Now this drinking party did not take place according to prescribed law, but as the king wanted, and he commanded his stewards to fulfill his and his people's desire. Queen Vashti also held a drinking party for the women in the palace where King Ahasuerus dwelt. Now on the seventh day, when he was merry, the king told Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Bigtha, Zetha, Abagtha, and Carcass, the seven eunuchs who were the court servants of King Ahasuerus, to bring in the queen before him, so that she might reign and put on her diadem, and so that she might show the rulers and the people her beauty, because she was beautiful. But Queen Vashti refused to come with the eunuchs, and the king was grieved and angry. Then he said to his friends, "Because of these things that Vashti has spoken, make a law and judgment concerning this matter." So Arcaseos and Sarsatheus and Malasir, the rulers of the Persians and the Medes, who were near the king, the first in importance, the ones who sat beside the king, came to him. And they reported to him according to the laws how it was necessary to deal with Queen Vashti, because she had not done the things which were commanded by the king through the eunuchs. Then Memucan said to the king and the rulers, "Queen Vashti has not wronged only the king, but also all the king's rulers and leaders." In fact, he detailed for them the words of the queen and how she had opposed the king. "Therefore, as she has opposed King Ahasuerus, so today the rest of the princesses of the rulers of the Persians and the Medes, having heard the things that were said by her before the king, will dare likewise to dishonor their husbands. If, therefore, it seems good to the king, let him prescribe a royal decree, and let it be written corresponding to the laws of the Medes and Persians, and do not let it be used otherwise, and do not let the queen go into him any longer, and let the king give her queenship to a woman more worthy than she. And let the king's law be obeyed, which, if it should work in his kingdom in this way, all the women will show honor to their men, from the poor to the rich." And the word pleased the king and his rulers, and the king did just as Memucan said. And he sent word throughout all the kingdom, in every territory, in their language, so that there would be fear for the men in their houses. Now after these things, the king ceased from his anger and no longer was mindful of Vashti, recalling what she had said and how he had condemned her. And the servants of the king said, "Let uncorrupt and beautiful maidens be sought for the king. And the king shall appoint commissioners in all the territories of his kingdom and allow them to choose young maidens, beautiful in appearance, for the harem in the city of Susa, and let them be handed over to the king's eunuch, the guard of the women, and let cosmetics and other such things as needed be given to them. And the woman who pleases the king shall reign instead of Vashti." And the command pleased the king, and he did accordingly. Now there was a Judean in the city of Susa whose name was Mordecai, who was the son of Jair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish from the tribe of Benjamin. He was a captive from Jerusalem, which Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had captured. And he had a foster child, the daughter of Abihail, the brother of his father, and her name was Esther. Now when her parents died, he raised her for himself as a wife, and the maiden was beautiful. So when the ordinance of the king was heard, they gathered together many girls in the city of Susa under the hand of Ai, and he brought Esther to Ai, the guard of the women. And the maiden pleased him and found favor with him, and he hastened to give her cosmetics and her allotment, and the 7 girls appointed for her from the king, and he cared well for her and her maids in the harem. Esther did not reveal her race or her country, for Mordecai had ordered her not to tell. And every day, Mordecai walked through the women's courtyard to observe what might happen to Esther. Now this was the appointed time for a girl to go into the king, when she had completed 12 months thusly. For the days of treatment comprised 6 months of being anointed in oil made from myrrh, and 6 months with aromatic spices and women's cosmetics. And then she goes into the king, and whatever she asks will be given to her to take with her from the harem into the palace. She enters in the evening, and towards morning she hurries away into the second women's apartment, where I, the king's eunuch, is the guard of the women. No longer does she go into the king, unless he calls her by name. And when the time was completed for Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the brother of the father of Mordecai, to go into the king, the eunuch who guarded the women refused nothing that she commanded, for Esther found favor with all who saw her. And Esther went into Ahasuerus, the king, in the 12th month, which is Adar, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther. She found favor more than all the other virgins, and he placed the queen's crown upon her. Then the king held a drinking party for all his friends and for those with influence. For 7 days he celebrated his marriage to Esther, and granted rest to those under his reign. Now Mordecai was attending in the courtyard, and Esther had not revealed her country, for Mordecai had commanded her to fear God and to keep his commandments, as when she was with him, and Esther did not change her way of life. But the two eunuchs of the king, the chiefs of the bodyguard, were distressed because Mordecai was promoted, and they were seeking to kill King Ahasuerus. And the matter was revealed to Mordecai, and he made it known to Esther, and she reported the plot to the king. Then the king examined the two eunuchs and hanged them. And the king ordered that a memorial be recorded in the royal library in praise of Mordecai concerning his goodwill. And after all these things, King Ahasuerus exalted Haman, son of Hammedatha, a Bugeon, and he elevated him, and he assumed the first seat among all the friends of the king. And all the men in the courtyard bowed low to him, for thus the king ordered that they do. But Mordecai did not bow down to him. And the men in the courtyard of the king said to Mordecai, "Mordecai, why do you disobey the orders spoken by the king?" Every day they asked him, and he did not listen to them. So they informed Haman that Mordecai was resisting the commandments of the king, and Mordecai pointed out to them that he was a Judean. Now when Haman learned that Mordecai did not bow down to him, he became very angry, and he resolved to destroy all the Judeans under the reign of Ahasuerus. And he made a decree in the 12th year of the reign of Ahasuerus, and he cast lots day after day and month after month in order to destroy the race of Mordecai in one day, and the lot fell on the 14th of the month of Adar. Then he spoke to King Ahasuerus, saying, "There is at your disposal a nation which is dispersed among the Gentiles throughout your entire kingdom, and their laws are more peculiar than all the laws of the Gentiles, and they disobey the laws of the king. It is not advantageous to the king to allow them to do this. If it seems good to the king, let him command to destroy them, and I will draft 10,000 talents of silver for the treasury of the king." And the king removed his ring and placed it in the hand of Haman to seal concerning the things written against the Judeans. And the king said to Haman, "You hold the silver and deal with the nation as you wish." Then the scribes of the king were summoned in the first month on the 13th day, and they wrote as Haman ordered to the generals and to the rulers over every territory, from India to Ethiopia, to the 127 territories, and to the rulers of the nations according to their language, from Ahasuerus the king. And he sent by letter carriers throughout the kingdom of Ahasuerus that they should destroy the Judean race on the first day of the 12th month, which is Adar, and that they should plunder their possessions. And copies of the letters were posted publicly in each territory, and it was commanded that all the nations be prepared for this day. And the deed was hastened even in Susa. The king and Haman were getting drunk, but the city was troubled. And this is a copy of the letter. The great king Ahasuerus writes these things to the rulers in the 127 territories, from India to Ethiopia, and the governors placed under them. Governing many nations and prevailing over all the world, I do not wish to act haughtily, with arrogant authority, but always considerately and with kindness, to make the lives of my subjects continually calm, to render my kingdom both civilized and passable to its boundaries, and offering to restore the peace desired by all humanity. But after inquiring of my advisers how this should be brought to conclusion, Haman, who excels among us in sound judgment, and is distinguished by his unchanging goodwill and steadfast faithfulness, and has obtained the second post of honor in the kingdom, pointed out to us that a certain hostile people is mixed together in all the tribes throughout the world, who are opposed in their laws to every nation and are steadfastly neglecting the ordinances of the king, so that the common government, administered blamelessly by us, is not established. Therefore, having comprehended that this nation alone is set continually in opposition to every person, changing laws and having entertained a strange way of life, being ill-disposed to our affairs, and is actually accomplishing the most injurious things against the stability of our kingdom, therefore, we have assigned those who were signified to you in the letters written by Haman, who is set over state affairs and who is our second father, to utterly destroy all, along with their wives and children, by the swords of their enemies, without pity and sparing of any, on the 14th day of the 12th month, Adar, of the present year, so that those people who have long been and are at this very time enemies of the land, having gone down violently into Hades in a single day, may render hereafter to us a continually, firmly based, and steady public affairs. Now when Mordecai discovered what was being perpetrated, he tore his own garments and put on sackcloth and sprinkled himself with ashes, and rushed out through the streets of the city, crying out with a great voice, "A nation which has done nothing unjust is to be destroyed." And he came as far as the gate of the king and stood, for it was not lawful for him to enter the courtyard wearing sackcloth and ashes. And in every territory where the letters were being posted publicly, there was shouting and weeping and great mourning among the Judeans. They brought down sackcloth and ashes for themselves. Then the queen's maids and eunuchs came in and reported to her, and she was troubled when she heard what had taken place. So she sent to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth, but he was not persuaded. Then Esther summoned Hacrathias, her eunuch who attended her, and she sent him to find out for her from Mordecai the exact situation. And Mordecai revealed to him what had happened, and the promise which Haman gave to the king of 10,000 talents for the treasury so that he might destroy the Judeans. He also gave him the copy of the letter that had been published in Susa concerning their destruction, to show to Esther, and he told him to command her to go in and entreat the king, beg him for our people, remember your days of low estate, how you were sustained by my hand, because Haman, who is second to the king, has spoken against us for death. Call upon the Lord and speak to the king for us, to deliver us from death. So Hacrathias went in and told her all these words. Then Esther said to Hacrathias, "Go to Mordecai and say, for all the people of the kingdom know that every man or woman who goes into the king in the inner court unbidden has no deliverance. However, to whom the king extends the golden scepter, this person will be safe. And I have not been called to go into the king these 30 days. So Hacrathias told Mordecai all Esther's words. Then Mordecai said to Hacrathias, "Go and say to her, Esther, do not say to yourself that you alone will be saved of all the Judeans in the kingdom. For if you do not listen at this time, there will be help and shelter for the Judeans from another place, but you and the house of your father will be killed. And who knows whether you are queen for this time?" Then Esther sent him who had come to her to Mordecai, saying, "Go, convene the Judeans who are in Susa and fast for me, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night and day. And I, indeed also my maids, shall fast, and then I shall go into the presence of the king contrary to the law, even if I die." And Mordecai went and did all Esther commanded him. Then he begged the Lord, remembering all the Lord's works. And he said, "Lord, Lord, King, who rules over all things, for everything is in your power, and there is none who opposes you when you want to save Israel, because you made the heaven and the earth, and everything that is wonderful under heaven. And you are Lord of all, and there is none who will oppose you, Lord. You know all things. You know, Lord, that it was not in insolence, not in arrogance, nor in love of honor that I have done this, to refuse to bow down to the arrogant Haman, for I would be well pleased to kiss the soles of his feet for Israel's deliverance. But I did this in order that I might not place the glory of a person above the glory of God, and I will not worship anything except you, my Lord, and I will not do these things in arrogance. And now, Lord God, the King, the God of Abraham, spare your people, because they look upon us for destruction, and they desired to destroy your inheritance from the beginning. Do not disregard your portion, which you redeemed for yourself from the land of Egypt. Hear my prayer and be merciful to your lot, and turn our mourning into feasting, in order that, living, we may sing of your name, Lord, and do not destroy the mouth that is praising you." And all Israel cried out from their strength, because their death was before their eyes. And Esther the queen fled to the Lord, seized in deathly anxiety. And she removed her garments of glory, she put on the garments of distress and grief, and instead of impressive spices, she covered her head with ashes and dung, And she humbled her body very much, and every part that she loved to adorn she covered with her tangled hair. And she petitioned the Lord, God of Israel, and said, My Lord, you alone are our king. Help me, the one who is alone, not having a helper except you, because my danger is in my hand. I have been hearing from birth in my paternal tribe that you, O Lord, took Israel out of all the nations, and our ancestors from all their forebears, for an eternal inheritance, and that you did for them everything you promised. And now we have sinned before you, and you have delivered us into the hands of our enemies, because we glorified their gods. You are righteous, O Lord. And now they are not satisfied with our bitter slavery, but they have placed their hands to remove the decree of your mouth, and to destroy your inheritance, and to stop the mouths of those praising you, and to quench your altar and the glory of your house, and to open the mouth of the nations for the wondrous deeds of vain idols, and to have a mortal king be marveled at for eternity. O Lord, do not give over your scepter to those who have no being, and do not let them laugh at our downfall, but turn their plan against themselves, and make an example of the one who began this against us. Remember, O Lord, make yourself known in the time of our affliction, and encourage me, O King of the gods and Master of all dominion. Give eloquent speech into my mouth before the lion, and change his heart to hate the one who is fighting against us, to the end of him and of those who agree with him. But rescue us by your hand and help me, the one who is alone and not having a helper except you, O Lord. You have knowledge of all things, and you know that I hate the splendor of lawless ones and abhor the bed of the uncircumcised and of any alien. You know my necessity, and that I abhor the sign of my proud position, which is upon my head on my days of appearance. I abhor it like a menstrual rag, and I do not wear it on the days of my rest. And your servant has not eaten at Haman's table, and I have not honored the feast of the king, nor have I drunk the wine of libations. And your servant has had no joy from the day of my transition until now, except in you, O Lord, the God of Abraham. O God, the one who is mighty over all, hear the voice of the despairing, and deliver us from the hands of evildoers, and deliver me from my fear. Then it happened on the third day, when she had ceased praying, she took off the garments of her service and put on her glorious clothes. And having become resplendent, after she had called upon God, the overseer and savior of all, she took her two devoted slaves, and she leaned upon one as though she were delicate, and the other one followed, bearing her train. And she was blushing in the flower of her beauty, and her face was cheerful, as to be beloved, but her heart was distressed from fear. And when she had come through all the doors, she stood before the king. He was sitting upon the throne of his kingdom, and he had put on every vestment of his majesty, covered all over with gold and precious stones, and he was very dreadful. And when he lifted up his face, resplendent with glory, he looked with intense rage. Then the queen fell, and her complexion changed in faintness, and she bowed down upon the head of the slave who went before her. And God changed the spirit of the king to gentleness, and being distressed, he sprang from his throne and took her up into his arms until she stood. Then he comforted her with peaceable words and said to her, What is the matter, Esther? I am your brother. Be bold. You shall not die, for our ordinance is public. Draw near. Having raised his golden scepter, he laid it upon her neck and greeted her and said, Speak to me. Then she said to him, I saw you, Lord, like an angel of God, and my heart was terrified for fear of your glory. For you are wonderful, Lord, and your face is full of grace. And while she was speaking, she fell from faintness. And the king was troubled, and all his staff comforted her. Then the king said, What do you want, Esther? What is your petition? Even up to half my kingdom it will be yours. And Esther said, Today is my significant day. If therefore it seems good to the king, let both he and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare today. And the king said, Hasten, Haman, that we may do Esther's request. And both arrived for the banquet that Esther requested. And during the drinking party, the king said to Esther,
What is it, Queen Esther? And it will be as much as you ask.
And she said, "This is my request and petition. If I have found favor before the king, let both the king and Haman come again tomorrow to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and tomorrow I shall do these things." So Haman went out from the king overjoyed and celebrating, but when Haman saw Mordecai the Judean in the courtyard, he became very angry. And when he entered into his own home, he summoned his friends and Zeresh, his wife. And he told them about his wealth and the glory that the king had invested in him, and how he had made him to have the first place and to lead the kingdom. And Haman said, "The queen did not invite anyone to the banquet with the king but me, and I have been invited for tomorrow. And yet these things do not please me whenever I see Mordecai the Judean in the courtyard." Then his wife Zeresh and his friend said to him, "Let a pole of 50 cubits be cut down for you, and at daybreak speak to the king, and let Mordecai be hung on the pole. Then go to the banquet with the king and celebrate." And what was said pleased Haman, and the pole was prepared. But the Lord withdrew sleep from the king that night, so he called his teacher to bring the written daily memoranda to read to him. And he found the letters that were written concerning Mordecai, how he informed the king about the two eunuchs of the king, when they were guards and sought to lay their hands upon Ahasuerus. Then the king said, "What honor or favor have we made for Mordecai?" And the servants of the king said, "You have not done anything for him." And while the king was inquiring about the goodwill of Mordecai, behold, Haman was in the courtyard. Then the king said, "Who is in the courtyard?" And Haman entered to tell the king to hang Mordecai on the pole that he prepared. And the servants of the king said, "Behold, Haman is standing in the courtyard." And the king said, "Summon him." Then the king said to Haman, "What shall I do for the person I want to honor?" And Haman said to himself, "Whom does the king want to honor if not me?" So he answered the king, "As for the person the king wants to honor, let the servants of the king bring a stole of fine linen, which the king wears, and a horse upon which the king rides, and give it to one of the honored friends of the king, and let him dress the person whom the king loves, and let him mount him upon the horse, and let him proclaim through the broad streets of the city, saying, 'So it will be for every person the king exalts.'" And the king said to Haman, "You have spoken rightly. Do so for Mordecai the Judean, who attends in the courtyard, and don't let one word that you have said fall away." So Haman took the stole and the horse, and he adorned Mordecai and mounted him upon the horse, and he passed through the broad street of the city, and he proclaimed, saying, "So it will be for every person the king wants to honor." Then Mordecai returned to the courtyard, but Haman turned back to his own home, distressed, his head covered. And Haman related the things that had happened to him to Zeresh, his wife, and his friends. Then his friends and his wife said to him, "If Mordecai is of the Judean race, and you have begun to be humbled before him, when falling, you will fall and not be able to withstand him, for the living God is with him." While they were speaking, the eunuchs arrived, urging Haman to the drinking party that Esther had prepared. Now the king and Haman entered to drink together with the queen. Then the king said to Esther on the second day during the drinking party, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? And what is your petition? Let it be yours up to half my kingdom." And she answered and said, "If I have found favor with the king, let my life be given for my request, and my word for my petition. For we have been sold, both I and my people, for destruction and plunder and slavery, we and our children for servants and maidservants, and I took no heed, for the slanderer is not worthy of the court of the king." Then the king said, "Who is this? Whoever dared to do this thing?" And Esther said, "The person, the enemy, is Haman. This is an evil man." Then Haman was terrified by the king and queen. And the king stood up from the symposium and went into the garden, but Haman was begging the queen, for he saw himself in trouble. Then the king returned from the garden, but Haman had fallen upon the couch, begging the queen. And the king said, "So, you assault even my wife in my house." And when Haman heard this, he was confounded in his face. Then Bugatha, one of the eunuchs to the king, said, "Behold, Haman prepared a pole for Mordecai, who spoke on behalf of the king, and a pole 50 cubits high has been set up at the house of Haman. And the king said, let Haman be crucified upon it. So Haman was hanged upon the pole which was prepared for Mordecai, and the king ceased his anger. And on that day King Ahasuerus bestowed upon Esther whatever possessions belonged to Haman the slanderer, and Mordecai was summoned by the king, for Esther made it known that he was related to her. Then the king took the ring that he had taken from Haman and gave it to Mordecai, and Esther appointed Mordecai over all the things that had been Haman's. And having advanced toward the king, she spoke and fell before his feet, and she begged him to take away the evil of Haman, as great as he had done to the Judeans. Then the king stretched out the golden scepter to Esther, and Esther raised up to stand near the king. And Esther said, if it seems good to you, and I have found favor, let letters be sent to return the letters which were sent by Haman, the letters that were to destroy the Judeans who are in your kingdom. For how can I bear to see the oppression of my people? How can I dare to be saved amidst the destruction of my country? Then the king said to Esther, if all the possessions of Haman I gave to you, and I showed kindness to you, and I hanged him upon a pole because he laid his hands upon the Judeans, what more do you seek? Likewise, you write in my name as seems good to you, and seal it with my ring, for whatever is written from the king, being enjoined and sealed with my ring, it is not for them to oppose. So the scribes were summoned in the first month, which is Sivan, on the 23rd day of the same year, and it was written for the Judeans whatever had been commanded to the stewards and the rulers of the satraps, from India to Ethiopia, 127 satrapies, territory by territory, in the language of each. And it was written through the agency of the king, and it was sealed with his ring, and they dispatched the letters by letter carriers, that he commanded them to use their laws in each city, both to aid them and to help them against their opponents and those who resist them, as they wish, in one day in all the kingdoms of Ahasuerus, on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is Adar. The following is a copy of this letter. The great king Ahasuerus, to the rulers in the 127 satrapies within the territories from India to Ethiopia, and to those who share our purposes, greetings. Many men, frequently being honored with the greatest generosity of their benefactors, are presumptuous, and not only do they seek to harm our subjects, but not being able to bear prosperity, they endeavor to plot against their own benefactors. Not only are they canceling the gratitude of people, but being carried away by the boasts of those who are strangers to goodness, they suppose they shall escape the evil-hating justice of the God who always sees all things. Furthermore, often encouragement has involved many who have been appointed to offices and entrusted to handle the affairs of friends in fatal circumstances, having made them accomplices of shedding innocent blood. By the lying deception of malevolence, men have led astray the innocent goodwill of those who govern. And it is possible to observe this not so much from the ancient accounts, as we have handed down, as it is close to hand, when you observe what has been accomplished wickedly through the pestilent condition of those who rule unworthily. And for the future, we shall offer to make the kingdom undisturbed, peaceful for all persons, dealing with the charges and always judging what is to come by its appearance, with a more moderate reply. For when Haman, the son of Hammedatha, a Macedonian who was in truth a foreigner to Persian blood, and standing far apart from our kindness, though having been hospitable to us, obtained the benevolence that we hold for every nation to such a degree that he was publicly proclaimed as our father, and continuing as the second face from the royal throne, he was worshipped by all. But not restraining his pride, he attempted from the beginning to deprive us even of our spirit, of both Mordecai, our savior and perpetual benefactor, and Esther, the blameless companion of our kingdom, along with all their nation. With the ingenious deception of stratagems, he asked for their destruction. For by these methods he imagined that he would catch us defenseless, to transfer the dominion of the Persians to the Macedonians. But we find that the Judeans, who were betrayed by this thrice sinful man for destruction, are not malefactors, but are living by the most righteous laws, and are sons of the living God, the Most High and Greatest, who guides the kingdom, both for us and for our ancestors, in the most excellent arrangement. Therefore, do honorably. Do not put to use the letters sent by Haman, son of Hammedatha, because he who worked out these things was crucified at the gates of Susa, with his whole household. God, who rules over all things, having swiftly repaid him a worthy judgment, and openly publishing a copy of this letter in every place, permit the Judeans to use their own laws and join in helping them, so that on the 13th day of the 12th month, Adar, on the same day, they may defend themselves against those who attack them in a time of oppression. For in place of the destruction of his chosen race, God, who rules over all things, has made this a time of merriment for them. Therefore, you also, among your named feasts, celebrate a notable day with all good cheer, so that both now and afterward it may be a day of deliverance for us and for those favorable Persians, but for those who contrived against us, a memorial of destruction. And every city and territory, without exception, that does not act accordingly shall be consumed with wrath by spear and fire. It shall be rendered not only desolate for humans, but also hateful for beasts and birds for all time. And the transcript was posted publicly, conspicuously, in all the kingdoms, and all the Judeans were prepared on this day to make war on their enemies. Accordingly, the horsemen went out, hastening to fulfill the orders by the king, and the ordinance was publicized even in Susa. And Mordecai came out adorned in the royal robe and wearing a golden crown and a diadem made of fine purple linen, and the people in Susa rejoiced when they saw him. Then light and merriment appeared for the Judeans throughout every city and territory, wherever the ordinance was publicized. Wherever the proclamation was publicized, there was joy and merriment for the Judeans, feast and mirth, and many of the Gentiles were circumcised and lived as Judeans for fear of the Judeans. For in the 12th month, on the 13th day of the month that is Adar, the letters that had been written by the king arrived. On this day, those who opposed the Judeans were destroyed, for no one withstood fearing them. For the rulers of the satraps and the tyrants and the royal scribes honored the Judeans, for fear of Mordecai weighed upon them. For the ordinance of the king became known, it was remembered in all the kingdom, and in it the city, the Judeans killed 500 men, including Parshan and Nestain and Dalphon and Aspatha and Poratha and Adalia and Aridatha and Parmashta and Arisai and Aridai and Vizatha, the 10 sons of Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Bugeos, the enemy of the Judeans, and they plundered on the same day. And the number of those who were destroyed in Susa was given to the king. Then the king said to Esther, "The Judeans killed 500 men in the city of Susa and in the surrounding area. How do you imagine they suffered? What, therefore, do you deem worthy still to ask? It will be done for you." And Esther said to the king, "Grant the Judeans to do in like manner tomorrow, so that they may hang the 10 sons of Haman." So he permitted it to happen in this way, and he published for the Judeans of the city to hang the bodies of the sons of Haman. And the Judeans in Susa were assembled on the 14th day of Adar, and they killed 300 men, but no one plundered. Then the remainder of the Judeans who were in the kingdom were assembled, and they helped themselves and ceased from their warring activities, for they had killed 15,000 of them on the 13th day of Adar, but no one plundered. So they rested on the 14th of the same month, and observed the same as a day of rest with joy and merriment. And the Judeans who were in the city of Susa gathered as well on the 14th day and rested, but they observed also the 15th day with joy and merriment. Therefore, on account of this, the Judeans who are scattered abroad in every territory on the outside observe the 14th day of Adar as a good day. With merriment they send portions, each to his neighbor. But those who dwell in the mother city also observe the 15th of Adar for good merriment, also sending forth portions to their neighbor. Now Mordecai wrote these words into a document and sent it to all the Judeans in the kingdom of Ahasuerus, to those near and to those far away, to establish these as good days, to observe both the 14th and the 15th days of Adar. For in these days the Judeans rested from their enemies, and to observe the entire month, which was Adar, in which it changed for them from grief to joy, and from pain to a good day, all the good days of feasting and merriment, to send portions to their friends and to the poor. So the Judeans accepted it just as Mordecai wrote for them, how Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Macedonian, made war against them, how he set a decree and a lot to destroy them, and how he went to the king, saying that he should hang Mordecai. But as much as he made an attempt to bring evil things upon the Judeans, they came upon him, and he was hanged, and his children. On account of this, these days were called Purim, because of the lots that in their dialect are called Purim, on account of the words of this letter, and as much as they suffered on account of these things, and as much as happened to them. And the Judeans established it and took it upon themselves and upon their seed, and upon those they handed it after them, so that they would not celebrate the month differently, and so that these days would be kept as a remembrance throughout generation after generation by city and family and territory. And these days of Purim will be celebrated for all time, and their remembrance will not come to an end from the generations. Then Esther, the queen, the daughter of Abihail, along with Mordecai, the Judean, wrote all that they did, and the confirmation of the letter concerning Purim. And Mordecai and Esther the queen established themselves privately, and then they stood according to their own health and their plan. And Esther established it by command for eternity, and it was written for a memorial. Now the king inscribed upon his kingdom by land and by sea both his strength and bravery, and the wealth and glory of his kingdom. Behold, it is written in the document of the kings of the Persians and the Medes for a memorial. And Mordecai was next in rank to King Ahasuerus, and he was great in the kingdom and was honored and loved by the Judeans. He told his way of life to all his people. And Mordecai said, "These things have come from God. For I remembered about the dream that I saw concerning these things, for no item of them failed. There was the small fountain that became a river, and there was light and the sun and much water. Esther is the river whom the king married, and he made her queen. And the two dragons are myself and Haman, and the nations are those that had been gathered together to destroy the name of the Judeans. But my nation, this is Israel, the people who cried to God, and we were saved, and the Lord saved his people, and the Lord rescued us out of all these afflictions, and God performed signs and wonders, great things that have not been done among the nations. Therefore he made two lots, one for the people of God and one for all the nations. And these two lots came for a season and a time and for a day of judgment before God and for all the nations. And God remembered his people and justified his own inheritance. And these days in the month of Adar, the 14th and the 15th of the same month, shall be for them days with a gathering and joy and merriment before God throughout the generations, for eternity among his people Israel. In the 14th year, while Ptolemy and Cleopatra were reigning, Dositheus, who said he was a priest and a Levite, and Ptolemy his son, brought into Egypt the preceding letter concerning Purim, which they had affirmed and had been translated by Lysimachus, the son of Ptolemaeus, one of those in Jerusalem.